And the subject tonight is the mysteries of heaven. We're on this theme of heaven, continuing, in fact, concluding that theme tonight as we preach on the mysteries of heaven. That's the final part of this series. There's Sister Naomi will minister in song, the Lord willing, at the evening service. Do join us again this evening if you can. Remember the season of prayer beforehand in the youth room upstairs there from 6:20 to 6:45 gives you time to, as you finish the prayer meeting, get into your seat and so forth. That's why it's at that time. On Monday, Little Sunbeams, Parents and Toddlers continues from 10:30. We had a good start last week. Do pray for this. 10:30 to 11:30. It's just 1 hour. We've changed the time, just limiting to 1 hour. If you're planning to bring your child or children or grandchildren or children you're caring for, please let Louise Foster know beforehand. That does help with the organisation. Volunteers to help, of course, are greatly appreciated, and all health restrictions apply. And then Tuesday evening is our missionary prayer meeting, when we think about the work among boys and girls with our brother Robert McConnell. There'll be a presentation at that meeting and a missionary offering. Do remember that, please, on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Thursday at 7, ordination and installation of Mr. Philip Knowles in our London church. It's on Sermon Audio and Facebook. That's at 7 p.m. on Thursday. You can link into that if you wish. Thursday at 7:30, there's a meeting of Kirk session for prayer. And you've heard about what James has mentioned this morning. So prayer by our Kirk session on Thursday evening at 7:30. Friday at 8 p.m. is the ordination installation of Mr. Simon Anderson in our Auchnacloy Church. That's streamed live again. You can link into that, sermon audio, etc., if you wish to. Do remember Saturday, we put it on our WhatsApp there, at 10:30 to noon, the season of prayer, called by our Government Morals Committee in relation to the moral decline in our land and our nation. Do remember that, please, from 10:30 to noon, and the link has been sent for you to register for that if you wish to attend. We trust you will. For elders, ministers, of course, there is a short session or short presbytery meeting held after that Zoom prayer meeting on Saturday morning. That is for elders and ministers, and again, it's on Zoom. The usual link applies for that. Please remember to put your clocks back 1 hour on Saturday evening as we go into winter time. And we trust that you'll remember to do that. Of course, you want to come an hour earlier, that's okay, next Sunday morning. But you'll get a wee bit more rest, hopefully, next Lord's Day morning. Sunday school at 10, family worship at 11:30, followed by communion for all who know and love the Saviour. Doors open from 11. The family and friends night service in the evening at 7. Reverend Stephen McRae from Carrickfergus Free Presbyterian Church is the speaker at all of these services. And remember, Mrs. McRae will bring messages and song in the evening service. Season of prayer before the evening service in the youth room at the usual times. Do plan to join us next Lord's Day, and remember the communion, that you come with your own bread and wine. If you haven't got the little receptacle, they'll be available and you can pick them up either today or on Tuesday night. If you haven't got one or have misled yours or want a new one, you can do that. Please remember that. And then the after church youth, we've decided, consultation and so forth, we're going to have a couple of Sundays a month, an after church youth for youth in our church, encouraging youth to come. I know it doesn't suit maybe everyone. We try to look at Fridays, and Fridays don't suit everyone, and all sorts of things. So we've looked at this, and we want to try and start this again. So remember, please, next Sunday night, encourage young people to attend. It will not be a lengthy meeting, but it will be a meeting particularly for youth. And Reverend McRae, who will be here, he will be speaking at that next Sunday night. Reverend Stephen McRae, do please remember the services and encourage the youth to come along as well. Do remember those who are sick, the ongoing treatment for our sister Mary McFadden. She has a scan this Thursday. They've asked for special prayer for the scan on Thursday of this week. Our sister Iron McBurney has gone through her surgery. You've maybe seen that on WhatsApp. They're very pleased with the result of that. And I know the family would want me to say how much they appreciate the prayers of God's people for this surgery that Aaron has had, and pray for her full recovery in the days to come. In fact, I have a little text from herself, and she sent me a little text not long after she came back to the ward from her operation, saying how much the Lord is so good. And I know the family appreciate that, and trust that you'll continue to remember the family in your prayers. Eileen Jackson got home from hospital. Margaret McCreary remains in hospital. Do remember these ladies. Pray for the help of God and the touch of the Lord. Our brother Calvin is now home from hospital. He seems to be recovering well. Do continue to pray for him. And for others in need of our prayers with illnesses, appointments, treatments, consultations, etc. Do pray for all of these matters. Awana, the planning is to resume on Monday week, the 1st of November if possible. Again, all these things are flexible, but and we're planning to resume on Monday, the 1st of November, 6:45 to 8, so all leaders take note and help us appreciate it. LTBS calendars are available from Mervyn Steenson, that's for 2022, and they're $3.50 each. If you see Mervyn about that at some stage, or message him or contact him, he'll be able to get those to you or leave them for you. Also, the LTBS magazines are available at the exits today. I think these are all the announcements that we have to make. We're joining the singing of the Psalm 100. The Psalm 100 on the screen. We keep our seats as we sing, and then if you're able, we will stand after the singing of this psalm for prayer. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with mirth, his praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice. Father, we worship thee this morning. King of kings, Lord of lords, we bow in humility before thy throne. We pray for thy presence and thy power here amongst us today. We are a people, a peculiar people, those who are saved by the grace of God, called to be the people of God, chosen from all eternity. We thank thee for this. O God, we rejoice.
that thou hast set thy love upon us, love with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know, Spirit breathing from above. Thou hast taught me it is so. O, this full and perfect peace, O, this transport all divine, in a love which cannot cease, I am his and he is mine. We rejoice in thee today. Pray for thy presence and thy help and thy power. We pray for grace to be given to each one who's gathered or listening in. We pray for the needs of the congregation, those who are ill who've been mentioned. We lift them to thee. We thank thee for answered prayer for Irene in this surgery. We pray that her recovery will be speedy and full. We pray that thou wilt bless her family today. And for any within that unit who know thee not, or are not going on with thee, that thou wilt speak to them today. Draw them to thyself. We pray, Father, for Mary as she goes for the scan on Thursday, that thou wilt go before her. We pray that thou wilt continue thy touch upon her. Remember Catherine, meet her need in her illness too, and for grace for her family also. We remember also Raymond, that he will recover fully, that thy hand will be upon him. We thank thee for Dr. Barnes and his recovery, and his wife, and we pray for Florence Barnes as well today, Eric's wife. Remember her, Lord, we pray, and touch her, and we pray that she may know thy healing hand. Remember Eileen and Margaret today. Lord, touch them. We thank thee, O God, for Eileen getting home, and we pray for her recovery. We pray for Margaret, as we understand, still in hospital. Lord, touch her and restore her. And we pray for others in her congregation who are going through difficult times with issues of mental health and physical health and health in their family problems and issues. We pray for thy touch. Remember Isabel Gilmer today. Touch Isabel. And we pray that she may know your presence and your healing hand. Remember Carl. Strip with minister to Carl today and touch him too. And bless Maureen. We thank you for your hand on Calvin in the past. We continue to minister to him and help the family at this time. Lord, we commend so many who have illness to thee. So many who are affected by this virus and other serious illnesses. O God, we pray for our land today, that thou wilt intervene. So many people, Lord, just wanting the things to be back to normal so they can pursue their pleasures and their sin. Have mercy, O God, upon our land and our nation and the nations of the world, that they may be turned to thee. Thank you for the free church. Thank you for his faithful witness. Keep us true. We're not perfect. We've never claimed to be. But, O God, we pray that thou wilt help us to be effective and effectual in our witness for Christ. And bless others too who take their stand for the gospel and preach the word faithfully. Lord, use them this day also, not only here but across the world. Bless the various aspects of the work that have resumed the Sunday school, and now as we have the parent and toddlers back again, and Lord, as we look towards the children's meeting and Awana and the youth fellowship, Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless and keep us all safe. Thank thee for the compliance of our people to the restrictions. And we know it's frustrating at times, but Lord, help us and keep us safe and keep us well. And bless this church and lead to the pulpit in the days to come a man sent from God to take up the ministry of thy word, and grant that he may be anointed of God. And as we continue in this year, that thou wilt help us to continue to be faithful to the crown rights of King Jesus and the crown jewels of his glorious gospel. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Amen. Well, boys and girls, it's autumn time, and I love the autumn time. I love the springtime and the autumn time. I must admit, I'm not so keen on the summertime. That may be strange to you, but I don't like a lot of heat. Not that we maybe get an awful lot of it here in this country anyway. But I'm one of those strange people anyway. You'd say that man Smiley's a bit strange, he doesn't like the heat. Well, that's how it is.
And so I was thinking about the winter, and I was thinking about the trees and the beauty of the trees, boys and girls. And I like to look at the trees, and of course they are beautiful at this time of the year. And the various colours of the leaves. Now, your leaves start to change their colours at this time of the year, of course. And so we have the changing colour of the leaves. And we have still some green leaves, would you believe? And we have some leaves that have different colours. And you can see the fading colours on the leaf. And boys and girls, I was thinking about this, you know. I was thinking about the springtime when we have the full green, and the summer, the full green of the leaf. But then when we get into this time of the year, we start to see the colours changing, like this leaf, and then becoming like these other leaves here, really brown. And then, of course, even this colour here falling down to the ground, boys and girls. The Bible speaks about the leaf. The Bible speaks about the fading leaf and the falling leaf. And you know, boys and girls, we're like that. We're like that. We fade and we fall. And sometimes in our Christian lives, even boys and girls and men and women, we fail in our Christian lives and we fall and we falter too. We're not as bright as this leaf. We're not as strong as we ought to be. And we all fail from day to day, but boys and girls, sometimes we fall too. But you know, boys and girls, the Bible says we do all fade as a leaf. We do all fade as a leaf. And you know, boys and girls, the leaf falls down. And I have leaves in my garden, which my wife continually reminds me about. Gathering up those leaves. Gathering up those leaves. So, we have to do it. You know, we have to be obedient. And we have to do it, boys and girls. Gather up the leaves. Boys and girls, death comes for boys and girls and for men and women. Just as the leaf falls, so do we in our lives. And we are taken away from the scene of time. And the Bible speaks also of the flower, the fading flower, and the withering flower and the withering grass. All of these things. Aren't you glad the grass is withering? You don't have to cut the lawn. You can put the lawnmower away for a wee while anyway. Well, some people cut it right through the winter. But I'm glad when I don't have to cut it for a lot of months. It gives you a wee break, doesn't it? Well, boys and girls, life is like all of those things. The leaf and the flower and the grass. And boys and girls, it's important that when that comes in our lives, death, that we are ready to meet the Lord and we know the Lord as our own and personal Savior. And I trust, boys and girls, that today, if you haven't asked the Lord Jesus into your heart already, that you will do it even this morning and ask Him in to be your Savior, your Lord, and your Redeemer. May the Lord help you to do that, boys and girls, even this morning. We're going to sing a little chorus, Wide, Wide is the Ocean. We'll sing it through twice, and we want you to see doing the actions as well as we keep our seats and sing together.
Yeah.
We're reading together this morning from the book of Judges, chapter 16. And we're reading together from this portion of God's Word, Judges chapter 16. Reading together from this portion of the Word of God this morning. Judges chapter 16 and the verse number 6. And Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." And Samson said unto her, "If they bind me with 7 green withes that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man." And the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withes which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he brake the withes, as a thread of tow is broken down when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, "Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound." And he said unto her, "If they bind me fast with new ropes that were never occupied, then I shall be weak and be as another man." Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. Delilah said unto Samson, "Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound." He said unto her, "If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web." And she fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awaked out of his sleep, and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, "How canst thou say I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth." And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, "There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he showed me all his heart." And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hands. She made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he woke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Albeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Ending our reading there in verse 22, we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. We'll have the hymn, "Be Thou My Vision." It's on the screen, and we will sing, and then if you're able to stand, we will stand briefly for prayer before we bring the word.
Thank you. stand, please, if you're able. I know that the Barnes family appreciate your prayers, Dr. Barnes, when he was in hospital and since he's been home, and also our sister Hilary and Calvin, of course, appreciate the prayers for them also, and others too who have been going through sickness. Appreciate the prayers of God's people during their difficult times. Father, we come now to thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to speak for a time this morning on the life of Samson. And in particular, the subject this morning is lessons from the life of Samson. We read there just a few moments ago in the book of Judges and the 16th chapter in relation to this man, Samson. In a speech broadcast on October the 1st, 1939, Sir Winston Churchill described the Russians' actions of his day, and I quote, "A riddle wrapped up in a mystery, inside an enigma. A riddle wrapped up in a mystery, inside an enigma." But what he said about the Russian actions of his day could be applied to Samson, the last of the judges, for his behavior. Samson, indeed, in his life, is a riddle wrapped up in a mystery, inside an enigma. Samson was unpredictable and undependable because he was double-minded. And the Bible teaches us in James chapter 1 and verse 8 that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It has been well said that the greatest ability is dependability. And you can depend upon Samson to be undependable. Bold before men, Samson was weak before women, and he couldn't resist telling them his secrets. Empowered by the Spirit of God, he yielded his body to the appetites of the flesh. Called to declare war on the Philistines, he fraternized with the enemy and even tried to marry a Philistine woman. He fought the Lord's battles by day, but he disobeyed the Lord's commandments by night. Given the name Samson, which means stomach, he ended up in the darkness, blinded by the very enemy he was supposed to conquer. And so this morning, in the closing moments of our service, I want to focus upon lessons from the life of Samson. First of all, the mourning of his life. You'll find the mourning of Samson's life in the 13th chapter of the book of Judges, verses 1 to 25. Samson had the greatest of all blessings. He had godly parents. Before he was even born, his mother had been told in a heavenly vision that she was to have a son. Verse 3 tells us of that 13th chapter. And in verse 4, she was told, "Beware, I pray thee, drink neither wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing." You see, the prospect and the practice of parenthood, now bequeathed to Manoah and his wife, called for rigid self-discipline. It was not simply that Samson was to be born in the home of true believers, and he was. He was to be born into the home of dedicated believers. His parents were willing to deny themselves all kinds of legitimate pleasures in this life in order to set a good example before their son. Men and women, our homes are to be sanctuaries from the world. Never let it be said that your children learned lust by watching uncontrolled television in your home. Never let it be said that they saw all kinds of unclean books on your shelves that would stir their thoughts toward uncleanness. Never let it be said that they were introduced to alcohol and its abuse in your home, or learned
to swear and other blasphemies against the Lord's name. Never let it be said that all of their earliest memories were of parents who showed them no example of self-discipline and godliness, but rather showed them the things of this world. But here we have parents who were an example of self-discipline and godliness and holiness of life. And Samson was blessed. It annoys me greatly when children despise their parents' faith and despise their parents' Bible and despise their parents' adherence to the Lord and to His day. Samson was blessed with godly parents. Children, young people, thank God for a godly upbringing, if that has been your life. Samson was blessed with tremendous physique. He grew up to be an exceptionally strong man. And God fitted Samson with the gifts of brawn, just as He fitted Saul of Tarsus with the gifts of brain. God does not try to make Samson out of a Samuel, nor does He urge a Martha to be a Mary. God has His place for every person in this life, every one of His servants. And furthermore, Samson was to be raised a Nazarite, chapter 13, verse 5. He was to be one consecrated unto the Lord. As far as his affections, his appetites, his very appearance were concerned, they were all to be placed upon the altar. He separated himself from a great deal of the world. He took the knife to the flesh and stood out from the crowd. And people saw him as a man who was dedicated to the Lord. Preeminently, the Nazarite vow was a pledge to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. He was to hold himself pure from defilement. He was to present his body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is his reasonable service. His very appearance was a testimony before others as to what he was, walking a pathway of obedience to the Lord. And so then, in the morning of his life, Samson began his life with everything going his way. He had godly parents who set the Nazarite example before him all his days. He had a sunny disposition. He had great physical strength. The Spirit of the Lord was upon Samson. Indeed, the Holy Spirit is mentioned more in connection with Samson than it is with all of the other judges combined. And so we have the morning of his life. But then secondly, we have the meridian of his life. Chapter 14, verse 5 to chapter 15, verse 22 of the book of Judges. In regard to this, we think about his courage in chapter 14, verse 5 to verse 20. As time went on, there were those who could, and no doubt did, accuse Samson of folly, and they were right. But nobody could accuse Samson of fear. Courage is the supreme virtue. A man or a woman may have character and conviction, but if they lack courage, they will end up compromising. Peter loved the Lord, but he did not have the courage to stand up for the Lord in the right way. He started denying his Lord, and on three occasions he did it, cursing and swearing because of the accusation of a servant girl. Samson scorned cowardice in any form. Everyone else thought that the Philistines were too strong to fight, but Samson laughed at the Philistines. He made them look ridiculous. And he overcame them. There are various kinds of courage. There's a man in the United States of America. He was known as Banner Williams. He was seen at every parade or civic function. And there he was with his gospel banner. On one side it said, "The wicked shall be turned into hell." And on the other side it said, prepare to meet thy God. Have you the courage to stand up for God? Remember the man who walked through Belfast with his gospel jacket. On one side it said, I am a fool for Christ's sake, and they were all laughing at him. And then as he walked on, it said on the other side, whose fool are you? Whose fool are you? Paul the Apostle said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Samson was a man of outstanding courage. He had the sublimest confidence in the anointing of the Spirit of God and in his life for power. And thus armed, no fear could haunt him and no foe could daunt him. The courage of this man. I want you to see also chapter 15, verse 9 to verse 22, his cooperation. You see, God's gifts and calling and anointing are not bestowed upon us that we may use them as we will. In a spirit of independence from the corporate fellowship of the people of God, they are not given to develop our own egos, to make us feel great in ourselves, and to think that we are somebody. They are rather for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what gifts are given for in the church. And they are to be used in cooperation, harmony, and fellowship with the elders of the local corporate fellowship of believers. Or in the body of the church, the wider denomination, which is made up of elders and ministers, teaching and ruling elders, which make up, like in our case, the presbytery of the church. In Samson's day, the corporate body was the nation of Israel, as represented by its elders. In our day, of course, we have the local church and its leaders, and then the wider denomination, as we've said. God's chosen governing body. This Bible doesn't speak anywhere about independence. The Bible speaks of the body of the church. And Presbyterianism is that body. And that governing body of the church. Sadly, the elders of the nation in Samson's day had no vision. Defeated men themselves, they were satisfied with things the way they were. They had no vision and no victory. Their sole concern was to maintain themselves in office and so cause as little stir as possible. They vetoed everything Samson set out to do. And he stood before them in all of his power and all of his vigor and vision as an anointed man. He wanted to bring victory and blessing to God's people. They were not only uncooperative, they were treacherous and quite willing to sell Samson into the hands of the enemy, as you can view in the verses, in these chapters in the book of Judges. The remarkable thing is that Samson went along with it as far as he could. He even let them bind him. He even let them impose their restraints upon him. He even let them hand him over to the Philistines. But when the enemy appeared thinking Samson would be easy to overthrow, in his elder-imposed bonds, Samson tore the bonds to shreds and won a tremendous victory over the foe. The elders of God's people had no part in it. Moreover, they failed to profit from it. And so we have his courage and we have his cooperation. But then also we have his Christ-likeness. So often we are taken up with Samson's follies and his failures. And of course there were many of them. But we forget the other side to it. Some think it to be astonishing that Samson should be regarded as a type of Christ. And yet he was. In fact, it is no more astonishing that Samson would be regarded as a type of Christ than that Isaac or David or Solomon should be regarded as types of Christ. We need not be surprised that Samson is also a type of Christ. He had so much of the Holy Spirit in him. It would be surprising if he were not. Think of the instance of Samson giving his love to a worthless, wretched Philistine woman. And then think of Christ's great love for us.
and his church.
Or see Samson going forth to meet his bride only to be met by a lion on the way. See Samson rend that lion. And then think of Christ coming to grips with Satan on the cross and being victorious over Satan. Think too of Samson bringing meat and refreshment of that most formidable and ravenous foe. And then think of all that Christ has brought to us out of his death itself. All the provision that we have, and the blessings that are ours, and the benefits that he gives to us through his death. Think of the band of 30 Philistines vaunting their solution to Samson's riddle, but only after they had stolen the secret from Samson's bride. Remember that the Philistines in the Old Testament are a type of unsaved liberals in the church. Often they exert great power and influence. And we see them continually in ecclesiastical circles today across this land and beyond. But they do not belong to the true church. They have climbed up some other way. The Bible says the same are thieves and robbers. They know nothing of redemption by the blood, or being baptized into the body of Christ, or of crossing Jordan and living victoriously in Canaan. They are ignorant of honoring and trusting God's inerrant word. But anyone born into the family of God and indwelt and activated by the Holy Spirit should at times exhibit likeness to Christ. And Samson did in many ways. There was in his life a Christ-likeness. Sadly, he did fall. And we all fall. And we all fail.
Don't think that you're different from someone else. Or I don't think I'm different from somebody else. Ministers fall. Elders too. Deacons. Ordinary people in the church fall and fail and falter. We all do. I want you to come to the third point this morning. The mire he sank into in his life. Chapter 16, verses 1 to 22. He sank into the mire.
As we look at the glimpses of Samson's life that are given to us in Scripture, there are some victories, times when he conquered the enemy. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. For example, chapter 15 of Judges, verse 14.
But the trouble with Samson was that he never mastered himself. Like many others, even we ourselves today.
He gave way to the flesh. He never mastered himself. Like many others too, he seemed to think that because he exercised restraint in one area of his life, that somehow it gave him liberty to indulge himself in other areas.
Perhaps Samson came to rely on the outward sign of his consecration. In other words, the seven locks of his head, his long hair, instead of captivating the spirit of separation of which that Nazarite vow spoke. Sadly, he sank into the mire of sin.
And every time I read about Samson, my heart is filled with sorrow because of the immense potential that he had in those earlier days and middle years of his life and of his time as a judge.
Yet he failed so miserably during those years. He sank into the mire of sin, giving way to the lust of the flesh. You think of David, the sweet psalmist, how he fell. He lusted after a woman. He committed adultery and murder. Of course, the Lord forgave him and he repented of that sin. He was restored. He became great again.
Think of Solomon.
And the Bible says, with all of Solomon and his great wisdom, yet he loved many strange women. And yet he wrote all those proverbs in the Bible. You see, these things are written for our learning, that we don't fall into these traps, these pitfalls. Samson fell into the mire of sin. Chapter 16, verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her.
His spiritual life deteriorated. But the mighty potential of his anointing still remained within him. And occasionally it showed. The Philistines feared it might one day blaze forth again. Of course, it did at the end, as we shall see. They plotted against him constantly. How could they bring about his overthrow? Then along came Delilah here, and we've read of her in this chapter. And destined she was to be his downfall. The downfall of this man who imagined he could still go out and do as he did at other times before. Whenever Samson went into enemy territory, he went down. He went down both geographically and spiritually. Chapter 14, verse 1, verse 5, verse 7, verse 10. You read, he went down. You read that of Jonah 2. Jonah chapter 1. He disobeyed the Lord. He went down. If you disobey the Lord, Christian, you will go down. If I disobey the Lord, I will go down. And this time, he found a woman in the valley. Not too far from home, he fell in love with this woman. You know, it's a dangerous thing to linger at the enemy's border, and that's where Samson lingered. You might get caught. Some suggest that the name Delilah comes from the derivation, which means to weaken or to impoverish. Now, it means other things, but it does mean to weaken and to impoverish. She certainly weakened and impoverished Samson. The story is told, a true story of two lumberjack friends were walking in the United States through a virgin timber territory. When they heard in a split second a thundering roar and crash, some short distance away, there was a giant of a tree that had fallen. It was a perfectly still day and very little breeze. And so they wondered what could have occasioned the fall of this great tree. And they went to see. Sure enough, outwardly the tree looked strong and healthy. It was not a forest fire that brought about this tree's fall. It was no woodman's axe or no howling gale. Its leaves and branches were still firm and flourishing. But disease inwardly had rotted away its heart. It had become nothing but a hollow shell, and suddenly it fell with a crash that shook that forest. Paul spoke to the gifted but carnal Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. He said this, that him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Samson did not fall in a day. He did not fall in a day. Nobody falls in a day. For years, this had been going on. For years, Samson had neglected his spiritual life. He neglected it. I was reading these chapters in the book of Judges. We don't read that Samson prayed. He didn't pray until the end. Until he was in dire straits in a desperate situation. He hadn't prayed all that time. You read about Jonah in chapter 1. He hadn't prayed. He didn't pray until he was in the belly of the fish, chapter 2 of Jonah. Then he prayed. Then he cried unto the Lord. And for years, he had neglected his spiritual life. Have you neglected your spiritual life, Christian? Have you neglected it for years? Have you been tampering with sin like Samson was? And he grieved the Holy Spirit. And three times Delilah tried, as we've read here, to get Samson to betray the secret of his strength. And three times he dallied with temptation. And three times he told her lies. The tempter persisted, for she had the fish well hooked now. And then came the disclosure, followed by the terrible discovery that the Spirit of the Lord had left him. You see the cry in verse 20 of this woman, Delilah, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And the Bible says he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. The power was gone, men and women. Down he came with an awful crash. He sank into the mire. And no doubt the fall of Samson shook the nation. All over the country, the word was out, Samson.
has fallen. You can imagine it. If it was today, it would be going viral on social media. But it was gossiped here, there, and yonder in Israel that Samson had fallen.
God's people were ashamed and afraid. The enemy crowed, "How are the mighty fallen?" He was in the quagmire. He was in the quagmire. But there's one final thing that I want to come to this morning. The majestic sunset of his life. Chapter 16, verses 23 to 31. It was tragic that a servant of the Lord, raised in a godly home as he was, but was now humiliated as a slave to the enemy. But even worse, the Philistines gave glory to their god Dagon, their false god, for helping them capture their great enemy. Verse 24 of the chapter we read from this morning. He was blinded and he was bound by them. Verse 21. He was burdened by them, serving as a slave in the prison house. He was a broken man, Samson. He was a broken man. And they called to make sport with Samson. Verse 25. They mocked him. They were going to have a good laugh at Samson's expense. No doubt they did. We're not told exactly how Samson entertained the large crowd in Dagon's temple. But one thing is sure, he gave them every reason to believe he was harmless. He was under their control. He was in their hands. He was in the hands of a lad that they had chosen to show him around, to lead him from place to place. And Samson asked the lad to lead him, verse 26, to feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. But we see in verse 28, Samson's prayer. Here's a man who hadn't prayed, but now he prays. And what a prayer it was. Verse 28. I want you to draw your attention to it as we conclude. Samson called upon the Lord and said, "O Lord, remember me. Remember me." Is it your prayer today? Well, it's my prayer from this pulpit. Lord, remember me and strengthen me.
I pray thee only this once, O God, that I might once be avenged of the Philistines by my two eyes. For my two eyes. All that time of folly and failure and falling. Now he's in fellowship with God once more. Are you in fellowship with God this morning, Christian? Are you praying?
Sin separates between us and God, and when sin is forsaken and we know the Lord's forgiven us, and he is a forgiving God, then fellowship with God is restored.
And Samson was right with God again. He's calling upon the Lord for the restoration of his power. And his separation unto God was renewed. And his consecration unto God was restored. And the power that he once had, he was given for one last time in his life.
In came the surge of power. Down came Dagon's temple. The whole lot with all of its pillars and all of its structure. Its fall upon the lords and upon all the people that were within. And the dead which Samson slew in his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Verse 30. It was Samson's greatest victory.
It was Samson's glorious hour. Most glorious hour.
Samson's real sunset was the promise of a better tomorrow. For before long David would come. And David was a man whom the Philistines would have reason to fear. And later on, the Lord Jesus would come from David's line of the root and lineage of David. The mighty conqueror. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle.
The greatest victor of them all. The greatest conqueror, men and women. The Lord Jesus Christ. In him we trust this morning.
To him we look. And you'll notice here, Samson was back where he started. You go back to chapter 13, verse 25, you discover where he was. The Spirit of God began to move him in the camp between Zorah and Eshtaol. And now he's back. He's back there again. That's where he is. He's back, chapter 16, verse 31, between Zorah and Eshtaol. That's where they buried him. That's where he ended up. You see, God brought him back, friend. God brought him back.
God heard his cry. And through God, and through the mighty power of God through Samson, there was a mighty deliverance for the people of God, and tables were turned on the enemy. And men and women this morning, let me say this, that through God we shall do valiantly. For he it is that is able to tread down our enemies. People around us, that even Christian people, all this pessimism that's abroad, and the spirit of downcast, and oh, we're defeated, we're finished, the church is finished. I hear that continually. It makes me mad, friend, because my God is not a defeated God. My God is a victorious God. That's the one we trust in today. That's the one we look to. Be encouraged. Be encouraged, Christian. There are lessons here from the life of Samson. The majestic sunset of his life. God brought the victory. And the enemy were defeated. And so, men and women, go from this house of God today out into the world, to your family, to your workplace, to your place of education, wherever you are in life. Go out and encourage this one. And we will see the victory in the Lord's name. The Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. Returning to the hymn, "Search me, O God, my actions try. And let my life appear as seen by thine all-searching eye. To mine my ways make clear." We will keep our seats as we sing this hymn. And let's sing it together unto the Lord. Gracious Father, we thank thee for thy presence. And Lord, bless us as we go from this house today. May the word of God be written upon our hearts. A saving word to those that are not saved. A restoring word to those who are backslidden. And a challenging and edifying word to those of us who know thee. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.